So we're learning Gemara Saita. We got to Daf Chof Amud Aleph. We finished the Mishnah. I don't think we started the Gemara yet. So the Gemara is going to discuss the halacha that when you write the Megillah Saita, you have to erase it in the water. They take Mayim from the Kiyar, and you have to erase everything. So you cannot write with indelible ink. If you're going to write with indelible ink on the parchment, then it's going to get absorbed into the parchment. You won't be able to erase everything. It's going to be Rishum HaNikar. It's not enough. We learned the Gemara here. It's not enough if a lot of ink dissolved into the water, into the Mayim Amram. You have to dissolve all the ink. You have to get all the ink. So it's self-understood. You can't use indelible ink. So the Shaila is, what about a Sefer Torah? Can you write a Sefer Torah with indelible ink? So the whole Sefer Torah is no Shaila. Why not? The Shaila is, what about Parsha Soita in the Sefer Torah? The halacha is that Parsha Soita has to be Yochol Limachoik. You have to be able to erase it. Does that only apply to the Parsha Soita that was written specifically for the Soita in the Beis HaMikdash? Husband brought his wife to the Beis HaMikdash and they wrote on a piece of parchment. That's called Parsha Soita. What about Parsha Soita and Chumash and Parsha Nasa? Is that called Parsha Soita? So the Gemara is... Oh, so the Gemara has a machlokes atanai. Can you cut it out from the Sefer Torah and use it? Do you need lishma? Do you need lishma? So that's what the Gemara is going to present, this machlokes atanai. So Rab Meir was a sefer. He used to write Sefer Torah. Rab Meir was a student of both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And he tells over the story that he learned by both. And one of the two Tanoim, one of his two Rabbeim, told him that you're not allowed to, whether you are allowed to, you're not allowed to, about using kankantum, about using a chemical to mix into the ink, that it should get absorbed into the parchment of the Sefer Torah. It shouldn't be able to be erased. So that's the topic that the Gemara is quoting. Om Rab Yudah, Om Shmuel. Rab Yudah was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. Sometimes he quotes things in the name of Rab, sometimes he quotes things in the name of Shmuel. And he says over here, Mishum Rab Meir. Shmuel didn't know Rab Meir in person. Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yechon, they were all students of Rabbi Yudah HaNasi. Rabbi Yudah HaNasi was a Talmud of these Tanoim. So Shmuel didn't hear it directly from Rab Meir, but Mishum Rab Meir. He heard in the name of Rab Meir the following. Kishehayisi lomit Torah etzel Rabbi Akiva. First he learned by Rabbi Akiva. Hayisi matal kankantum letoch adyo. He was learning, but on the side he was making a parnas. He was writing Sefer Torah. The Gemara says in Megillah that he once was in Asia, and he wrote in Megillah Esther, Balpeh. He knew every letter Balpeh, Molichos and everything Balpeh. Aye, but the Gemara says he's supposed to, whenever you write a Sefer Torah in Megillah, he's supposed to copy it from an already existing one. So the Gemara says, yeah, he wrote two. First he wrote one Megillah Balpeh, then he wrote another Megillah copying from the first one that he wrote. So, because l'chatchila, more correct is to write from him for a copy. And the Gemara says he knew everything Balpeh. He knew every letter Balpeh. So he tells a story. The name of Rabbi Meksha. Yisi lamatar etzah Rabbi Akiva. On the side, he was a cipher on the side. Yisi matal kan kantma techadyo. He used to throw this chemical into the ink. And it made the ink indelible, that it can't be erased. Lo amali dover. Rabbi Akiva never expressed any dissatisfaction about that. After he learned by Rabbi Akiva, Kishibos Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel, when he learned by Rabbi Shmuel afterwards, Amali, so Rabbi Shmuel told him, Bini ma malachtecha, what do you do for a living? Amati lo, lavalor ani, I am a cipher, I'm a scribe, I write Sefer Torah. Amala Bini, so Rabbi Shmuel told me, Heavy Zoyer, you have to be very careful, Shemalachtecha malecha shamayim hi. You're working in a very serious area to write a Sefer Torah. We believe that the Sefer Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. That's why the Gemara sometimes will darshan halachas when the fact that a word is spelled mole achaser or switches from zocher to nekevah, from yochid to rabim, and so on. These are all part of the Midrash HaTorah and the Rosh Hashanah. If Moshe Rabbeinu was only dictated the ideas and then he's writing in his own words, how can you darshan? So obviously we believe that it was dictated by Kodesh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter. So he tells them, Rabbi Shmuel tells Rabbi Meir, you have to be careful. Malachtocha malecha shamayim hi. We also believe that the Torah is a description of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if you're going to write something wrong in the Torah, you're describing a different God. So that's what he says. Shema tachzer oisachas. You have to be careful not to miss a letter. Or toiser oisachas. Maybe you'll write an extra letter. Nimtzas atamachrivas kol olam kulay. That's utter destruction. You're describing a different God. So you have to be very careful not to put an extra letter in the Sefer Torah. The Rambam paskins. The Rambam writes that a Sefer Torah shechaser oisachas is puzzle. And the Gemara in Gitna doesn't say that. Maybe he got it from this Gemara. That line, Sefer Torah shechaser oisachas is puzzle, comes from the Zohar. So that's a question. Did the Rambam have access to the Zohar? Every so often there's a line in the Rambam that the only source that we're familiar with is the Zohar. Like the Rambam writes, when you perform chalitza, so the Yavama takes off the shoe from the right leg of the Yavam, and then she throws it away. That never says in the Gemara, that says in the Zohar. But after she takes off the shoe, she should toss it away. Gemara never says it. So they say, maybe the Rambam had access to a Zohar, maybe had some other medrash where it says it. Here the Rambam says, Sefer Torah shechaser oisachas posel. And if you have an extra letter, also puzzle, the Rambam says, yes, it can utl dummy. That's a din in Hilchus Treifus. Let's say you have an animal that's missing a leg. The animal, a cow, only has three legs instead of four legs, so it's a treifa. What if the cow has five legs? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes based on Gemara, yes, it can utl dummy. If an animal has an extra organ in such a way that if it would have been missing that organ, it would have been a treifa. So if it has an extra organ, we say, yes, it can utl dummy. So an extra organ is equivalent of lacking an organ. If lacking an organ, we make a treifa, so the extra organ is also true. So the Rambam quotes that Malitza when he gets to Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah shechaser oisachas is puzzle. And if you have yeser oisachas, an extra letter, is yes, it can utl dummy, is also puzzle. And the Gemara in Gittin doesn't say that. The Gemara in Gittin says Sefer Torah shechaser yiriyah achas. Is missing a whole urea. A whole urea means from the stitches to the stitches. 3, 4, 5, 6 columns, a whole bunch of columns in one urea. So the Bali HaTaisa is paskin like the Gemara. Let's say if the Sefer Torah is missing Parshas Vayigash, if it's missing that urea, so you can't lay on Shabbos Vayigash. If it's missing, can't lay in Baal Peh. But let's say it's not Parshas Vayigash, it's a Parshas Vayichi. And you're missing a whole urea. So then the Gemara says, Sefer Torah Shechas Yuriyah Achas, and Karim Bay. Less than a urea, from the Gemara would appear that you can lay. And the Rambam says against the Gemara. The Rambam says chaser oisachas is puzzle, and if Sefer Torah is puzzle, you can't lay in Kriyas HaTorah from it. So we got a problem. We have a problem. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with that kasha. We know that the Patsua Dako. Says in the Chumash, if a man is a Petsua Daka, he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, he has to marry a Geirus. So the letter Petsua Daka, the word Petsua Daka, half of the Sefer Torah have it spelled with an Aleph at the end. Ashkenazim spell it with an Aleph, and the Sephardim spell Petsua Daka with a Hey. So half of the Sefer Torah are puzzle. We don't know which ones are puzzle, which ones are kosher. It should be a Sefer Torah, Shechaser Oisachas. It's missing the correct letter. So the Menachas Chinuch has a suggestion, and that's the accepted suggestion. Sefer Torah shechaser oisachas, or yiter oisachas means, has a misspelling. Let's say, Bereshis is spelled with a samach instead of a tof. So that's chaser oisachas. Noach is spelled mit alangenun mit achof. Noach mit zidin greisen. So if it's outright an error, that's puzzle. Chaser oisachas, yiter oisachas. Aharon is supposed to be spelled chaser, and he spelled it molei. Or whatever, sometimes supposed to be spelled Mali, you spelled it Chaser, so it's taken not right, but the Menchas Chinuch is Mechadesh, Batnish Kembreiris. It comes up with this Chiddush, maybe that doesn't passel. Since it's a correct spelling, the only thing is it's not in accordance with the Masorah. Masorah is you should have been Mali over here, should have been Chaser, so just because it doesn't correspond to the Masorah, you should correct it. Mechadchil, you should correct it, but to say that if a Torah is passel, that apparently we don't say. Because it's not a misspelling, it's just that it doesn't correspond to the Masorah. That's the Menchas Chinuch suggestion. The Menchas Chinuch lived 100 years ago. So that was accepted. The last 100 years that people accept that. Otherwise you have to assume all the Sefer Torah are Sophic puzzle. They're all Sophic puzzle.
We have Rashi in the beginning of Truma where he says, the S... It's, he says,
Vav
is extra. Our Sefer Torah don't have this
Vav. Yeah. That the Minchas Chinuch answer is not going to help. That's not going to help because that's wrong. Yeah. Aharon, Molei Chaser, it's the same word. Just Molei Chaser. So that the Menachas Chinuch says doesn't Ptzua Daka. Both spellings are correct. One is correct according to the Masorah, so one is not correct according to the Masorah, but you can't say it's a misspelling. Since it's not, but here it's a totally different word. S of V-S is a different word. Sometimes you have a Kri Ksiv. So if you wrote in the Sefer Torah the Kri, instead of the Ksiv, Habayis HaShalochoma. So the Ksiv is HaShalochoma Mitan Aleph, and the Kri HaShalochoma Mitavov. So that's a Kri Ksiv. So that passels. If you wrote the Ksav of the Sefer Torah, you wrote what's supposed to be the Kri instead of the Ksiv, so that says in Shulchan Aruch that passels. Because you're writing, the Kri is the Torah Shebal Peh, and the Ksiv is the Torah Shebal Ksav. So whenever the Gemara has a pasuk where there's a Kri Ksiv, instead of Yishgaleno, they wrote Yishkaveno. That's the Kri, is Yishkaveno. But the Ksiv is supposed to be Yishgaleno. So if you wrote Yishkaveno, so then the Sefer Torah will be pasul. That's the wrong word. He wrote the wrong word. But if he wrote the correct word, and he didn't really misspell it based on the dictionary spelling, it's that Tzuadaka is correct either way. So then the Minchas Chinuch Mechadesh letter doesn't pasul. But S and VS, whichever way it's supposed to be, the other way is mamish, the wrong word. It's not that there are two ways to spell it. They're both correct. So we go Basarayv. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, that they had a suffix on different words in the Sefer Torah, what the word should be. So they followed the Rayv of the Svarm that they had available. So we have outvoted a couple of Rashis on Chumash. Rashi has a couple of comments, and we just don't follow them.
I think those Sefer Torahs are possible, or just we have to make a choice. I mean, the question is, when the Gemara says we follow the Rayv,
it was a totally different word. Elatzile b'nei Yisrael, elzatute b'nei Yisrael. It's a totally different word. So those Sefer Torah were declared as pasul. They went pasul roiv, and we assume that the roiv is correct, and the neil Sefer Torah were incorrect. So the Rambam perhaps got it from this Gemara. The Gemara says you can be machrivus kol olam kuloi if you have an extra letter, a missing a letter. Rav Soloveitchik once spoke at the Chag HaSmicha in Chicago in Skokie Yeshiva. So he held a drasha. He was speaking about this, that the Rabbanim have to be careful not to be machasa, not to be moiser. They shouldn't change Yiddishkeit. The Rabbanim may want to make compromises, so they'll change a little bit. So he was saying about nimitzas hatamachrivus kol olam kuloi. You have to be careful to present the masorah accurately. Sometimes the Masorah has to be translated. Just like we don't speak in, the Rabbanim in America don't speak in Yiddish anymore. So you have to translate into English. And sometimes you have to translate old ideas into you have to know how it applies. And modern times doesn't always apply exactly the same way it applied the years ago. Due to circumstances, sometimes the dinim are slightly different. But you can't change the dinim in principle. Sometimes the application is going to be a little different. So Rabbi Shmuel tells Reb Meir, you're a sefer, you're a lavlar, you have to be careful not to have an extra letter, not to be missing a letter. Amarti lo, so Reb Meir tells Rabbi Shmuel, Dabar echad yeshli, I have this chemical, shani mata l'toch hadyo, I mix it in as an ingredient in the ink, kankantam shmo, and it makes all the letters indelible, and nothing, the letters can't be erased. Omali, so Rabbi Shmuel asked me, "V'chimatilim kankatim toch hadyo? You're not allowed to put in. You're not allowed to have indelible ink. HaTorah Omra, it says with respect to Megillah Sota, umocha, you have to erase it. And if it's Rishum Anika, then it's not good enough. You have to erase all of the ink on the Parsha Sota. So you see, it has to be ksav. Parsha Sota has to be ksav. Sheyuchalim chos, you have to be able to erase. So that's the story in the Braith. So the Gemara wants to know, what was the conversation back and forth? My kol malei and my kol mahadalei. What did Rabbi Shmuel ask him? What did he answer? That he says you have to be careful not to have an extra letter. So he says, I put in kankantum. Well, how does kankantum solve the problem? He's going to put in an extra letter. How does kankantum solve it? So the Gemara asks, what did he ask him that he responded? That this was the response. The Gemara says, Hachi kol malei. His question, Rabbi Shmuel, the Rebbe's question was like this. Lamed boy, oh, this is Rab Meir answers. Lamed boy, b'chaseris v'seris de bokiyano. Rab Meir knew balpeh. He knew the Megillah Esther balpeh molei chos. He knew the Sefer Torah balpeh. So it's not only my boki chaseris v'seris. Alafilu, sometimes you'll write the ksav of the Sefer Torah, and a zvuv, a fly will come, and eat up or lick up whatever the ink, and you'll be missing a letter. So that's what he says, that can never happen by me, because I'm a bokeh, I know the mole and the chaser, and I use indelible ink, so even if the fly will come and lick off or chew away something, an animal will come and chew away a part of the letter, the upper part of the letter, but the bottom part will be absorbed in the parchment, so it can't be erased. El afila lamechash lizvuf, I don't even have to be concerned, maybe a fly will come, dilma osev yosem atage didalid. Let's say I'll have a dal. What's the difference between a dalad and a resh? The thing on the right hand side in the corner, the dalad comes to a point and the resh is round on the top. So he says that can never happen by me. When I write a letter dalad, it's impossible that a fly will come and erase the corner on the right hand side on the top of mochik lei and erase it a mashvilei resh. It's impossible. Why? Because davarach yeshli, I have this ingredient shalimata d'tachadio kan kantam shmo. I use the kankantum, and it's indelible ink, and it can never happen. It'll never be erased. And I never make a mistake, because I know moli v'chosim. So the Gemara is going to explain what did Rabbi Shmuel tell him, that you can't use indelible ink. He didn't mean for the whole Sefer Torah. He only meant for Parshas Soito and Parshas Nosa. We'll get to it. But the Gemara, before they get to that point, they're going to be mivar a little chunk of history here. Freg the Gemara, Eini, there's a problem over here. In the version that Rabbi Yudah says in the name of Shmuel, Rabbi Meir tells us that first he learned by Rabbi Akiva, then he learned by Rabbi Shmuel. Then we have another source that says the reverse. We have a brisa. Fegmar Eini, Bahatanya, we have a brisa. Amr Rabbi Meir, Sheisi Lamitai Reitzel, Rabbi Shmuel, first I learned by Rabbi Shmuel, then he learned by Rabbi Akiva. So it's a stira. That he first learned by Rabbi Akiva, then he first learned by Rabbi Shmuel. That's one contradiction. So the Gemara says on that they can answer. Maybe first he went to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was way over his head. So he didn't know what in the world was flying. It was too hard for him. And then he switched to learn by Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel just said over all the Mishnayos, all the traditions, all the dinim. And then he was prepared to go back to Rabbi Akiva and to learn by Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva gave all the ins and the outs, and all the fancy Torahs, and it wasn't over his head. So the Gemara says, that contradiction, did he first learn by Rabbi Shmuel, did he first learn by Rabbi Akiva? You can say there were three stages. First Rabbi Akiva is too hard, then Rabbi Shmuel, then he came back to Rabbi Akiva. In yeshiva you have like that. Students learn by one Rabbi, and it's too hard, they learn by a different Rabbi, then 2 years later they come back to the first Rabbi. They feel that they're ready to learn by the first Rabbi. That you can have. But there's another contradiction between the two brises. In the first brise, it says that Rabbi Shmuel is the one who brought to his attention that you're not allowed to use kankantum. You're not allowed to use indelible ink for Parshas Soita. And the second brisa, it says, Fakert, the Rabbi Akiva is the one who brought it to his attention. Rabbi Shmuel said, it's okay. Rabbi Shmuel didn't shepherd him. So that's a problem. Who was the Tana who said that it's not acceptable? So that they have no answer for. So the Gemara first presents this double contradiction. Eini, Freg, the history is not correct. Well, Hatani, we have a brisa on the third white line, Achofim and Aleph. Omer Rabbi Meir, Kshayisi Lametaretzel Rabbi Shmuel. Here he says, he first learned by Rabbi Shmuel. Oisi Matel Kankantum Latoch Adyo. He used to use this chemical to make it indelible. Lo Ameli Dover. Rabbi Shmuel didn't say anything. And later he learned, Kshabasi, it's Rabbi Akiva, Asor Allah. He told me that you're not allowed to. So the Gemara says it's a double contradiction in the history. Kashik Shimush Hashimush. Who did he learn by first? Kshayisi Meshamish, first he learned by Rabbi Akiva, first learned by Rabbi Shmuel. Which is it? And also Kasha Asora Asora, which of the two Tanaim is the one who said it's no good? Was it Rabbi Shmuel? Was it Rabbi Akiva? Gemara says Bishleim Hashimush Hashimush Loi Kasha. The first contradiction: who did he learn by first? Could be that the both versions are true. Could be one is just a misprint, one is a mistake. Or could be that Meikor Asa Lekame de Rabbi Akiva. Maybe first he attended Rabbi Akiva Shir, came to Lamotzi Kom Alibay. It was way above his head. So he said he's not going to get anywhere here. Also, the comment of Rabbi Shmuel, maybe he went to Rabbi Shmuel second, the Gomar Gemara, and he picked up all the traditions, what are the dinim. Rabbi Shmuel just said over the Mishnayos, Balpeh, and he gave all the tradition, the din is like this, the din is like that. And then he wanted to understand the ins and the outs, and why the din is like that, and why the din should be differently. And so he picked up the Gomar Gemara, the traditions of what the Piske Halacha Sar heard from Bishmal. And the Sava Svara, the Hezberim, the ins and the outs, that he picked up later by Rabbi Akiva. So maybe that's not a historical contradiction. Maybe they both blend in together. El Asa Asara Kasha. But the stira is, which of the two Tanoim, which of the two Rabbeimah, Rab Meir, was the one who said it's not acceptable, that you're not allowed to use indelible link for Parsha Soto. So the Gemara says, how stuck with the Kasha? Kasha, we don't know what the answer is. One of them is right and one of them is wrong. Teyufta, usually they say, when an Amora says something and it's contradicted by Mishnah Brisa, so they say it's Teyufta, Obgefrek. Whenever they say Kasha, so most of the Rishonim assume that Kasha is not the same as Teyufta. Kasha means Hastakut to Kasha, but there's a good teretz on the Kasha. And we're not going to bother to discuss it. Teyufta means Obgefrek. Here, Kasha means it's a murderous Kasha. One is right, one is wrong. Either Rabbi Shmuel said it's no good, Rabbi Akiva said it's no good. So that's taka contradiction. Well, one Bryce is right, the other Bryce is wrong. So now the Gemara is going to discuss what is the issue, whether you're allowed to use indelible ink for the rest of the Sefer Torah. There's no shaili. You may use indelible ink. The ganze machloikas over here, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, is what about Parsha Soita in the Sefer Torah? Tanya Rabbi Yudaimer, the Tana Rabbi Yudah. I'm a higher Rabbi Meir. Lakol matilim kankantam letochad yo. You can use indelible ink for any parsha in the Sefer Torah, except for chutz mi parsha soita bilvad, except for parsha soita, not only in the Beis Hamikdash, even parsha soita in Chumash. When you're writing a Sefer Torah, you get the parsha snosoi. So those lines that have the Shvuah Sasoita are also labeled as Parsha Soita, and Parsha Soita has to be ink that you can erase. Rabbi Yankev Farimah Mishmo, Rabbi Yankev disagrees with Rabbi Yudah. He says in the name of Rabbi Meir, it's a Machleg Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yankev, what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir either said one or the other. There's either he's right or he's right. The two, you can't say Eilu V'Eilu Divi L'Kim Chaim over here. Either one is right or the other one is right. Rabbi Yankev Haimah Mishmo, Rabbi Yankev claims in the name of Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yudah said, Chutz Parsha Soita Shal Migdosh. Parsha Soita in the base in the Sefer Torah. The same with the rest of the Sefer Torah. You can write the whole Sefer Torah in an indelible ink. We would recommend it. So none of the letters can be, sometimes they write in oil. So the letters sit on top of the cloth. So if you open up the Sefer Torah and close it enough times, so all the oisiyos springing are up, they fall off from the cloth, and you don't have any oisiyos there. So if you write in a delible ink, even if something will fall off, but it'll be balu, it'll be absorbed into the parchment, so it can't fall off. So we'd recommend indelible ink. So here's a machlokes. What about Parsha Soita? Sheb is Sefer Torah. You have to, the first Tana Rabbi Yudah says, name Rabbi Meir, you have to write Parsha Soito Shebesefer Torah in an ink, using ink that can be erased. Rabbi Yankib says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, it's not true. Only Parsha Soito in the Beis Hamikdash. My Beinayu, what is the root of the Machloikis? Where the Parsha Soito Shebesefer Torah has to be also written in ink that's Yochalim Machais. And for the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yirmi, Yolim Chaklaminatar, Yigmina, that's the Machloikis. Can you take a Parsha Soito in the Sefer Torah? A husband brings his wife to the Beis Hamikdash, she's a Soita, and then the Kohen makes her swear that she was a Mizana. If she was a Mizana, she's accepting upon herself, she's going to die with the Misa Mishuna. So it says in the Torah, the Kohen should write the Parsha Soita. What if you have a Sefer Torah? Can you cut out the Parsha Soita, Sheba Sefer Torah, and use it for the Soita? The Gemara says, if you hold, you can. If you hold Mechgid Lomina Torah, you don't need Ksiva L'Shma means. The Sefer Torah was written L'Shem Sefer Torah, it wasn't written L'Shem Parsha Soita. So if you hold, you don't need Lishma, doesn't have to be written Lishma. So then those lines in the Chumash have the status of Parsha Soita. Parsha Soita has to be ksav, that can be erased. But if you hold that you do, if you require ksiva Lishma for Parsha Soita, so the Sefer Torah was written Lishem Sefer Torah, wasn't written Lishem Soita, so then you cannot use it. So Agdi Gemara, Bahani Tanoi Ki Hani Tanoi. This machlok is between Rabbi Yude b'shem Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yanke b'shem Rabbi Meir. Hani Tanoi is Ki Hani Tanoi. It's the same machlok as that appears in the following brisa. Ditanya, we have the brisa. Ein b'gilos ikshar l'hashkus b'asay tacheres. Husband brings his wife to the Beis Hamikdash and they write a parsha soita. And then the wife backs out. She says, "Any shoisa." She says, "Tamei ani." Whatever. Somebody backs out, and you have a parsha soita. It was written for one couple, and they're not going to use it for some reason or another. Either the husband says he's going to divorce her anyways, he doesn't need the whole thing, or the wife says Tameani, or the wife says Eni Shoisa, so you stop in the middle. So then another couple comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Can you write the Parshas, can you use the Parshas Sota that was written for the first couple to for the second couple? Is that good? So the first Tana says, Ein Megillah Sikshar L'Hashkas B'Sota Acheres. If the Megillah Sota was written for one couple, you cannot use it for a different couple. In other words, unique Sivu L'Shma. And the next Tana Desir is, Rabbacha B'Yoshi Armin Megillah Sikshar L'Hashkas B'Sota Acheres. The next Tana says, you don't need Sivu L'Shma. So this machlokes is whether you can use the parsha Sota and the Sefer Torah. Can you cut out that section? It wasn't. It was written l'shem Sefer Torah. Wasn't written l'shem parsha Sota. So that's the machlokes. Same machlokes over here.
Also, machlokes, it has to be in sequence. In other words, you don't write it right away. First, you have to go through a certain procedure beforehand, and then you write it.
That's the whole pella here. The Gemara said before parsha Sota that was written before she took the shvua is no good. So I mean, she has to take the because it says v'kasa hakainas to all the sailor. Doesn't write psukim. He writes the shvua. So she has to first take in the shvua.
You know,
so,
the Sefer Torah afterwards.
So that's what Tosfos says. The hachamaskinon, she took the shvua, and then the sefer was on the side. We see what time she took the shvua, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then 9:30 in the morning, the sefer is writing a Sefer Torah, and now we want to use that parsha Saito that was written after.
But well, it's an existing sefer.
An existing Sefer Torah was the Parsha was written way before she took the Shvua, so that Tosfos says that's upkaret, that is no good.
Then it was dedicated to her after she took the Shvua. This part was dedicated.
What do you mean dedicated?
He has the Sefer on the side, she takes the Shvua, and then, or he even cuts it out before.
Yeah, but the Gemara says it has to be written after she took the Shvua.
Or not dedicated.
Doesn't help dedicated. So that's what Tosfos is at design over here. Doichik. It doesn't sound like it. That's also a problem.
If he did use it, the miracle worked. But let's say he did it.
Right.
And she drinks and she's okay, so was it a good testimony?
Right. That's the machlokes, yeah.
We're talking about a site that came originally, one site that was written to Saita, and she backed out for some reason. Now he has this parcher. What's he going to do with it? And then another sort of couple comes along, and he wants to use it. Has nothing to do with a Sefer Torah.
No, that's the second case. So with Bedoichik, we'll have to say the Kohen made the first woman swear, then he made the second woman swear, then he writes the Parsha Sota for the first woman, and then somehow they're getting divorced anyway, or whatever, and now the second woman already swore also, we just didn't write the Parsha Sota. He wrote the Parsha Sota on behalf of the first one. Can we switch it and use it for the second woman? Because it was written after she took the Shvua, but it wasn't written for her. It was written for the first couple. It wasn't written for the second couple. So the Gemara says, Hani Tanoi, Ke Hani Tanoi. The Machlokes, Rav Yankif and Rav Yudin, the first price is identical with this Machlokes, what he needs, Ksiva L'Shma. Then the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Who says that it's Mukhrach, that it's Toli Zebizan, Omer, Apop, Adil Malaihi. Verzok, that this is Hani Tanoi, Ke Hani Tanoi, that this is the same Nekudah, in the Machlokes, what he needs, Ksiva L'Shma. Not so. Tanakama says here in the second verse on the fifth line from the top by the tiny letter base, because the Megillah Sota was written for the first couple, so it can't be used for the second couple. But maybe he would agree that from a Sefer Torah you may use it. It wasn't written for the wrong couple. It wasn't written for any couple. That's what he tells Dilma Loihi. Maybe this Toli Zebezer, you are being Toli Zebezer, is not correct. Tanakama says it's not acceptable because intik l'shem Rachel, l'hadrim intik l'shem Leah. This Megillah Sota was written for the first couple, can't use for the second couple. Aval Torah, the stomach siva, the Sefer Torah wasn't written for any couple. Achanami de machkina, maybe nobody requires l'shma, just shalot l'shma is possible. Maybe you don't need l'shma. So you can be mechalik in that direction. Then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Dilma Lohi, you can be mechalik in the other direction also. Maybe at kan the kamer Rabbacher Rabbi Yoshi Hasamela. Rabbacher Rabbi Yoshi is the second time. He says Migilosik Shero LaHashkas Masoy Tacheres. So he's trying to prove from him from the second Tana that you don't need Ksiva L'Shma. So the Gemara says maybe you do. The Megillah Sota was written L'Shem Sota. Wasn't written for this couple. It was written L'Shem Sota as opposed to the Sefer Torah. Wasn't written L'Shem Sota at all. That's where Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tain is. Dilma Lohi came in Mechalik in the opposite direction. Ad kan lekam rabache by Yeshia that it is kosher. Megillah Saita from one couple is kosher for another couple. Ela Megillah, the echt of the Shemal is bailam. It was written the shame Saita. It was written for the klalas that the first woman took. But a Sefer Torah wasn't written at all the shame Saita. The Islamic Sefer, the Sefer Torah is written to learn from. It wasn't written to serve as a Megillah Saita at all. Achanami Deloy Machkina. Maybe Rabbi Yosha would also say that it's no good. It's no good. So that's how the Gemara said you can be mechalik in either direction. It's not necessarily totally zebizeh. But we said before, Hanatanoi is not necessarily correct. Then the Gemara fragged Akasha. How can the second Tana make such a statement? He says the Megillah Sota written for one couple can be used for another couple. And what about a get? There's a Mishnah in Gittin says two couples live in the same city and the husband's name exactly the same, the wife's name exactly the same. So the first husband writes a get to divorce his wife, and then he changes his mind, he's going to remain with his wife, then he throws it in the garbage. The second husband finds it in the garbage, and he picks it up, he's going to use it to divorce his wife. So it says in the Mishnah that it's no good, you need ksiva l'shma. So how can the Rabbacha Rab Yoshia say over here that the Megillah Saita that was written for one couple may be used for another couple? Why is it different from the get? Frag the Gemara, Rabbacha Rab Yoshia, lay slay, doesn't he subscribe to the din in the Mishnah in the second parak in Gittin when it gives all the dinim of ksiva l'shma? Kasav the garbage says ishtoi, husband authorized the sefer to write a get, v'nimlach, and he changes his mind and he throws it out in the garbage can. Mitzvah Benira, another man who lives in the same city, finds it, v'yomalo, and he says, hey, shmi kishmecha, my name same as your name, shemishti kishemishtecha, my wife's name is same as your wife. And it says, what city? I live in the same city. So everything corresponds, it's all the same for me. So the Mishnah says, pasal agarishboi. That's a machlekes hatanoim, whether it's pasal agarishboi. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. When you have a get, it says in the Chumash, because of law, sefer krisus. The husband has to write a get is called the sefer krisus. Sefer means a shtar. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim, Rab Meir and Rab Elozer. Rab Meir holds edi chasima karasi. Rab Meir holds the Eidim who sign make it into a shtar. So when the Eidim sign, they have to sign Lishma. The whole 12 lines of the get can be written Shaloi Lishma. Just the Chasimus Eidim has to be Lishma. So Rab Meir disagrees with this. He holds that it's even Mutta L'chatchila. If the first husband wrote a get to divorce his wife and he throws it in the garbage. Matzo Bashba V'chasoma N'Sanolah. If the second husband picks it up from the garbage and he gets Eidim to sign it Lishma, so then Rav Meir holds it's good l'chatchila. There's no need for ksiva l'shma. It says, because of law, you need ksiva l'shma goes on the chasimus ha'edim. Ksima has to be l'shma. And we basically don't pasch like Rav Meir. We pasch like Rav Elozer, the Gemara says. Rav Elozer holds that you don't need edi chasima. You don't need edi chasima at all. All you need is the top 12 lines in the get, and you have to give it in the presence of two edim. That's called edim esira karsi. The edim esira make it into a sefer krisus. Rav Meir holds Edechasima karsa. Edechasima, make it into a sefer krisa. If you don't have Edechasima, it's not kosher. So according to Rav Meir, when it says v'kasa of lo l'shma, ksivis ha-get needs l'shma, doesn't go on the 12 lines of the get. It goes on the two chasimas have to be written l'shma. So according to Rav Meir, the Mishnah is not correct. It would be kosher over there if the Edim signed it l'shma for the second husband. And we don't pass like Rav Meir. We pass on halachik Rav Elozer, that you don't need Eidei Chasima Bechal. Get is good without Eidei Chasima. The Iker is, you have to have Eidei Mesira watching when he gives a get. So the Mishnah says, they made a takanim of Neitikin Ha'ilam, that you should always have Eidim sign on a get. Why Eidim sign on a get? If you're going to follow Rab Lazar, the husband is going to give his wife a get in the presence of two Eidim, no Eidim signed on it. So how is she going to prove in another 5 years she gets another shidduch? How is she going to prove that she got divorced? We all know that she lived in the neighborhood with her husband for the last 25 years. And then one fine day she wants to remarry. She's becheskes eishes ish. So the woman is not in the menace to say the husband divorced me. So she has to have, so today the bezdin who supervises the get gives her a ptur. But in the days of the Tanaim they didn't have a ptur. In the days of the Tanaim the woman would walk around with the get. So if the get doesn't have any chasima on it, so what does it help? So they made a takarim if they take it on them. Shayuhu hate him chasim malaget. to make it easier for the wife to be able to remarry. Maybe the Edom will die. Maybe the Edom Israel will die. Or maybe the Edom Israel will move to Medina Sayam. The Mishnahs were written in Eretz Yisrael. So they're talking about the Edom moving today. We say maybe the Edom will move to Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, maybe the Edom will move to Medina Sayam. Maybe they'll move to America. So if the Edom die, or the Edom move away, so how's the woman going to be able to prove that she got divorced? If you have Edi Hasima, so then the get serves as a shtar raya that the husband divorced her. That's a recommendation. Sometimes there's a call, but that's not enough. Rumor has it that the husband gave his wife a get, but rumor is not enough.
If you find a get with a chasim, we never know that the husband gave the get. If we have Edi Hasima, but we never know if the husband actually gave the get.
Right, the Edi Hasima signed. At the time that they signed, all they know is that the husband expressed an interest. They only know the husband expressed an interest in divorcing his wife. No, but he's asking a question. How can a woman holding on to the get prove that the get was given and it wasn't legitach magabi karka? The Edom at the time that they signed, all they know is that the husband expressed an interest in divorcing his wife. He said, write a get, I want to divorce my wife. Who says that he ever gave her the get? Maybe she found it in his drawer and she grabbed it. So that's what Tosis and Gittin Abdallah and Amin Aleph raises that question. So that's a chiddush in shtar. Let's say, I lend you $1,000 and you give me a shtar that says that I lent you $1,000. Then I come and I say, pay me the money. You say, paraiti. I say, how can it be paraiti? Shtar chabiyadi, my boy. How come I still have the shtar? So what do you mean? I might see mom and based on a ruba delesa, come on. That if he really paid me the money, he wouldn't have left the shtar by me. Rabbi Kivega quotes that kasha in the Tshuvas, and holchem imamen achar haroiv. How can you be mighty moment based on a roiv? The shtar chabiyadi, my boy, it's highly unlikely that the leiva paid up the money, because if he paid the money, he would have insisted I should surrender the shtar. How can you be mighty moment based on a roiv? Rabbi Kivega answers, no, that's the chiddush din of shtar. Since the shtar is made that he borrowed the money, and I'm still, the malva is still holding on to the shtar. So whatever happened after he's borrowing the money, if the malva is holding on to the shtar, and the malva tainis, not only did I lend him the money, he never paid it back either. And the umdin is that it's probably so, because shtar chaviyodi, my boy. So then I say, not that I might see mom and based on the roi, but shtar chaviyodi, my boy. Since it probably happened, Ms. Tomer, that's what happened, that he never paid back the money. So we declare that too is included in the Haggadah Seder of the Shtar. It's considered as if the Shtar is made, not only Shalova, as if Shaloi Pora. So the truth of the matter is, that's what the Pnei Yeshua says, that's every get is like that. The husband has the Edom sign on the get. All the Edom know at the time they sign is that he expressed an interest in divorcing his wife. That's all it says. But the fact that she's holding on to the get was intended to be given to her, she's holding on. And Mistama HaKol B'Hech Shanasa, the probability is that she didn't grab it from the husband's drawer. Probably he gave it to her midaito, and he gave it to her B'Hech Shanasa. He didn't tell her, he didn't leave it on the table and tell her, pick up the get. He probably gave an asina. He probably Mistama HaKol B'Hech Shanasa. So whenever you have a shtar that's made on the first step of the way, and the one who's holding on to the shtar is the one that it was intended to be given to. The Bava shtar is holding. And he's tining what probably is the case. So all of that is included in the Haggadah Seder of the shtar. So they made a takana that even though according to Rabbi Elazar there's no need for Edei Hasima, but it'll make life easier for the wife if she'll have the Edei Hasima. Bizman HaZeh, though, we take back the get. And we give the woman a ptur. So that's the shtar. So why do we have the Edom sign the get? What do you need Edei Hasima for? Tosis says there never was a takana. Even though the Mishnah says that they made a takana sheyuhu eidim chasma malaget when they take an oilam to make it easier for the wife, so Tosis in Gittin claims that was an eitzah teiva. That was never a takana, because the Gemara says it's mutar lachatchila to write a get and not to have any eidim chasima at all. So Tosis says, what happened to the takana to sheyuhu eidim chasma malaget they take an oilam? Tosis says, that was never a takana, you have to. That was a recommendation, it's a taiva, that it should be easier for the wife to prove that she's the one.
She would come without Edom Hasima, she would come without any Hasima, how would she get remarried?
She wouldn't be able to get remarried. She'll have to bring the Edom Hasira, who will say, we remember the way the husband gave the get to the wife. So that's what the Gemara says, the Edom Hasira may die, they may move away to a different Medina. So it's a recommended, highly recommended, you should have Edom Hasima sign, should be able to hold on to the get. Or behind Bizman HaZeh, the practice is the woman does not hold on to the get. the Bezdin gives her a p'tur, so why did we waste our time to have Edim sign on the get? It's a waste of another 5 minutes. Give the get without Edi Chasima, and then the Bezdin will give a p'tur. That's a problem. Because they says there never was such a takana, it's just a recommendation. So today the recommendation is meaningless. Why should they sign? She's going to surrender the get to the Rabbanim anyway. They're going to give her a p'tur. So that's a hapella.
Maybe she forged the p'tur.
Nah. Amaisa Bezna, we're not choshish for Ziv. Amaisa Bezna, p'tur is Amaisa Bezna. So the Gemara asked Akasha, what do you mean? This Tana Rabbah Raboshia says that the Megillah Saita was written for one couple, you couldn't use it for another couple. What about the Mishnah Gittin that says Kosovo the Gavsha Sishtoi, and another person from the same city with the same names wants to use it? So the Mishnah says that it's not acceptable. That's because we pass on like Rab Lozer, that you don't need Eide Hasima. So when it says Vikasov, what does it go? It goes on the 12 lines of the get. Vikasov law, the 12 lines of the get have to be written in the Shema. Our minig, Tosis writes on the first mission in Gittin. Our minig is that we write 12 lines in a get. The word get bekematria is 12. The word get bekematria, gimel tes, is 12. So the minig is write 12 lines. This is Nishkan. They have Gittin, they have old Gittin that have less than 12 lines and more than 12 lines. It's not halacha. It's a minig that the Balei Tosis had that you write 12 lines. But yes, every line is worked out, and the only thing that you change is the date and the names and so on. So it always works out that it's a. Always turns out to be 12 lines, but it's not even a din l'chatchin. Sometimes you need more than 12 lines. Yeah, if you have a lot of names, yeah. Some people have an awful lot of names, yeah. So the Mishnah says, Pasa l'garish boy, because the ksivas I get needs l'shma. We pass like Rab Lazar, you don't need Eidich Hasima. So when the Torah says the ksiva has to be l'shma, goes on the 12 lines that I get. According to Rameh, the Lishma doesn't go on the Ksivas Haget. It goes on the Chasimus of Edom. So the Gemara says, how can this Tana, Rabbache, Rabbi Yoshia, say that a Megillah site that was written for one couple may be used for another couple, but a get that was written for one couple may not be used for a different couple? What's the difference? And for the Gemara Amri, the answer is obvious. There are psukim over there by the get. There's no psukim over here by the Megillah site. Amri, the answer is, Hasam, it says, because of Allah Machamana, Bina Ksiva Lishma. There it's a pasuk that you need to see with the Shema Fegma, but here it says the same also. means lishma. The ksiv has to be lishma here also. This Tanra Abacha Beraboshi holds. Also, you need lishma, but not the ksiva. Doesn't the ksiva's Megillah Saita doesn't have to be lishma? The mechika has to be lishma. The ksiva can be for the first couple. And their issue is resolved. The husband is going to divorce her anyway. The woman says, Tamei ani. The woman says, Ani shoys or whatever. So you have an extra Megillah Saita. So this Tana Rabbacha Raboshia says, the shtar, the Megillah Saita that was written for one couple may be used for the other couple. It's not a problem.
Is there an answer to the parents? I mean, according to this Tana, the Mechika is going to be the issue. So even if you wrote it before she had this Shavuos, it's all totally in the Mechika.
That's what I would have said, like you also. But Tosis asked this kasha, so Tosis said Hachmas Kinnan. It was written afterwards. It's a big doichik. What does it help that it was written after? The whole, where did they get that idea that the Megillah Saita has to be written after the Shavua? Because it says in the pasuk, "V'kasav Hakanes Ha'olos La'ela Ba'Sefer." After she took the Shavua, then he writes the text of what she said. But if this Tana holds that it doesn't have to be written l'shmo, so what do I care was written before or after? I would have said like you, this Tana disagrees. This Tana holds you don't need Ksiva Lishma. It doesn't have to be written after the Shavua. But we paskin, it has to be written after the Shavua. And you have to write it Lishma. It has to write because of Ha'ala Sahela. It has to write the text of the Shavua that we said. This is the answer, that Deichek answer. Pashtus is like you said. So then the Mishnah is describing. The woman drinks the Maim Amarim, and right away her blood vessels start to bulge, and her eyes start to bulge, and she's half dead. Mara says, but there was a Machlekes HaTanoim, what's the Seder HaDvarim? So there was a Machlekes on the previous Daf, on Daf Yutef. Does the Nes, do you bring the Mincha first? If you didn't bring the Mincha yet, it says this is Minchas Zikar Maskeras Ovein. So it sounds like that's crucial for the miracle to occur. It's ma'akev. If you didn't bring the mincha zikar maskeres avayin, so the miracle is not going to function. So there was a machlekes tatanoim. Is it a nes on top of a nes? There's no poison over here. It's just that it doesn't taste good. It has full of ink. The ink is not poisonous. Doesn't taste good. And they used to mix in something that made it bitter. That was the Gemara right before the Mishnah. Mehamarim shemarim. That was on Chof Amar Aleph, 10 lines from the top. In addition to the ink, you have to put in something that makes it bitter also. But there's nothing poisonous in it. So there was a machlokes hatanaim. One Tana said it's a miracle on top of a miracle. She drinks the Mayim Amarim and nothing happens. After she drinks the Mayim Amarim, then you makriv the mincha. And then the miracle happens. She dies because she drank the Mayim Amarim, which was not poison in the first place. She dies, she starts to get sick and die after the Akrovas HaMincha. And the other Tana Rab Shimon says, no. You bring the mincha first, and when she drinks the Mayim Amarim, even though it's not poisonous, a miracle will occur and it'll act like poison, and then she's going to die. So the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. Ein maspekes lishta, she doesn't finish drinking all the Mayim Amarim, ad shepaneh marika, so first turns yellow and brown, and the blood vessels start to bulge, and the eyes are bulging, and she's half dead already. Frag the Gemara, whose opinion is that? Mani, Reb Shimon, he, the Mishnah goes like the Tan Reb Shimon by Chai the Yama. His opinion is, Makris Menchasa first, the Chakach Mashke. Why the Kamadol Kevin Menchasa, the Batkila Maya? If you don't bring the Mincha first, then the miracle is not promised. Tichsiv, Mincha Zikar Maskeres Oven. So the Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon, first you makriv the mincha, and then she drinks the Mayim Amarim. And right away when she drinks the Mayim Amarim, before she even finishes drinking all the water, right away the miracle starts to set in. So the Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon, Freg di Gemara, Eim Seifa, there's a machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chacham about an unrelated topic. Is there such a concept as Chus Toilabo? Let's say she was a big balas chesed. She had an affair with someone else when she was an Eishes Ish, but she did a lot of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Whatever, the Gemara is going to discuss what mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim did she do. So there's a machlekes hatanaim. So Reb Shimon says the miracle is promised, she'll start to get sick and die right away, even if she's the biggest tzaddikas in the world. This miracle depends on whether she violated Lysina or she didn't violate Lysina. It doesn't help, all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim in the world don't help. Schus is not toilable. And the Mishnah disagrees. Mishnah holds that schus is toilable. Sometimes the woman has a schus, she'll live an extra year. She'll live an extra 2 years, an extra 3 years, the Mishnah says. So the Gemara asked, Akasha, Eima Sefer. You tell me the ratio goes like Reb Shimon, who holds your makriv, the mincha first, and then you drink the Mayim Amarim. And on the, as she's finishing the Mayim Amarim, she starts to get sick right away. Eima Sefer, but it contradicts itself. And the Sefer says, Leish lo schus. If she did mitzvah some ice and time, how is it law? She'll live on another year, 2 years, 3 years. Freg the Gemara, Asan le Rabbanon. The Reisha and the Mishnah goes against Reb Shimon. The Reb Shimon, Ha'amar, we know that he was quoted earlier in the first parak as saying, Ein eschus toilah by Mamar. He doesn't believe in this. That if the woman did mitzvah some ice and taivim, she'll live on. No, he also is going to die right away. So you have a contradiction, Minei Yibay in the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon. Second of the Mishnah goes against Reb Shimon. So how can it be? Which position are you adopting? And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Hamani Reb Akiva. Mishnah is, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. And Stam Sifrei is Reb Yudah. And Stam Sifro is Reb Yudah. Stam Sifrei is Reb Shimon. They were all Tamidim of Reb Akiva. Kul Ali of Reb Akiva. They were all Tamidim of Reb Akiva. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. That is true. Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah and the Tosefta and Zifra and the Sifrei were all the basement Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Nahirsh writes in one place, he has an interesting comment. He says that the Jews were never known for Seder. Jews were never Mesudadik. The encyclopedia is the Jews started writing in the 1700s, they were picking up from the Goyim. How to write encyclopedias, put alphabetically arranged. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam arranged it in such a way, the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was a descendant of Gerim. So he had non-Jewish blood in his system. So he had from the genes of the non-Jews that he was a descendant of, so he had this musag of Seder, how to do things with Sudanic. So Rabbanu Shel Olam caused, the Hashgacha caused the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, should go through Rabbi Akiva, that he, and with his non-Jewish genes, he should be able to organize everything in a Mesudadik fashion. A very interesting comment. Remember, I was once sitting at a wedding. I was reading this little book where Rabbi Yoel Schwartz in Eretz Yisrael wrote many, many handbooks. You have a pocketbook. So I was reading this little book at the wedding by Rabbi Akiva, and he quotes this from Rabbeinu Hirsch. So I was sitting next to Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky. So I showed him, I said, you ever hear of this? So he said, never heard of that. He shows it to Rabbi Yisrael. This is around 10 years ago. He said, he never heard of that either. But that's what he quotes Rabbeinu Hirsch, says like that. So the Gemara says here, the Mishnah goes, the Mishnah is not Reb Shimon and it's not the Rabbanan. Reb Shimon holds that Tzchus is not Toyla. Rabbanan holds it the Makar of the Mincha after the drinking my mama. Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. They're not just pulling a name from the hat. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Stam Mishnah Rab Meir, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva holds, Hamani Rabbi Akiva he holds like Reb Shimon, Makar is Menchasa, Bechakach Mashke, Ubischus, Sabo like Rabbanan. He holds like the Rabbanan, that Tzchus is Toyla. So Tosis writes over here, Mani Rabbi Akiva he. Tosis on the side says, that's not a suggestion. The Gemara says, maybe it's Rabbi Akiva. Tosis said, there's this phrase where it says so beferish. The Rabbi Akiva holds like these 2 points. Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon that you drink the Maim Amarim after the Mincha. Rabbi Akiva holds beferish that Tzchus is Taylor. That's not the Gemara is guessing. It's Taki correct. Tosis got help. Then the Mishnah says, when the woman is she starts turning colors and her eyes start to bulge and she's half dead. So the Mishnah says they remember when there used to be a sight of the Beis Hamikdash, they would scream, "Hotziyua, take the woman out of the Azor, Shaloit Tami is Azor. She's going to make everything Tami in the Azor." Hotziyua, how does the Mishnah say? Hotziyua Shaloit Tami ho Azor. Take the woman out that she shouldn't cause everybody in Azara to become Tommy. So the Gemara has a discussion over here. My time, what are you afraid of? The Dilma Mesa. Maybe she's going to die. She's about to die. Her blood vessels start to bulge. She's on her way to die. So Freg the Gemara, the memory, you mean to say the Mesa of the Machna Leviya, that you're not allowed to leave a dead body in the Machna Leviya. It's a very strange question. Who said Mesa? He said, "Hotziyo shaloi tetame ha'azara." You have a lot of kohanim there. You have clay beis hamikdash there. Everything is going to become tame. Are you going to make everybody go to mikveh and have azor shlishi shvi with paraduma? It's going to agansa esik. Beis hamikdash is a crowded place. Someone's going to drop dead in the middle of beis hamikdash. You're going to put everything out of commission for a long time. It doesn't say because a meis is also the machna levia. It says "Hotziyo shaloi tetame ha'azara." So it's very difficult. Why does the Gemara diverted the Pshat and the Mishnah? Hotziyua because a meis is also b'machna leviyah. That's not what it says in the Mishnah. So hotziyua shaloi tetame ha'azara, shall cause everybody to be tame. So the Gemara asks, how can it be? That's not the Pshat. V'atani, we have a braisa. There are three in the Midbar. In the Midbar, there were 3 machnas. There was machna shchina. That's the Azara. Then when there's Machna Leviya, the Leviyim were around the Azara. And then there was Machna Yisrael. Where all of the Shvatim were around the Machna Leviya. And the corresponding areas in Yerushalayim were, the Azara was the Machna Shechina, the whole Harabais was Machna Leviya, and Yerushalayim has a status like Machna Yisrael. So the Pasuk says in Parshas Nasai that you have to take all of the tmeim out of the machna lo yovel. It says chol tzuro v'chol zav v'chol tomi lo nofesh. Have to leave the machna. It says the word machna 3 times, and it says 3 different tmeim. It says tzorua v'zav v'tomi lo nofesh. So the Gemara says each one is a different madrega of tuma. Tomi lo nofesh, a tomi meis, one who came in contact with a dead body, is the lowest level of tuma. It's only tumas mago. The tumor didn't develop in my body. I touched or I came in contact with a dead body. I was mekabel tumor mi bachutz. So a one who's a tamei meis is only also b'machne shechina. He's not allowed to enter the azor. One who has a zav has a mochomedika level of tumor. That's a tumor hayotza olamigufa. It developed in his body. We call that tumas riyah. Tumor hayotza olamigufa, same as tumas riyah. So whoever has a tumas riyah is not only also in the azor, he's also in the whole Harabais, but he's mutter in Yerushalayim. And who's usher in, even in Yerushalayim? The Metzora. The Metzora has the highest level of tumor. Chutz l'sholosh machnas. And now that'd be not only in the Azor, not only in the Harabais, even in Yerushalayim. So that's why it says the word machna 3 times. And that's why it mentions called Tzura v'chalza v'chatome l'anafesh, the three levels of Tumah. Each level of Tumah corresponds to the other machne. So the Gemara quotes this b'raisa v'atanya. We have a b'raisa, Tomei meis, muta likoneis le'machna levi. A Tomei meis is Tumas mago. He was mekabel Tumah in b'bachutz. So he's permitted to enter into the machna levi in HaTorah. With the Rabbanon, we divided machna levi into three parts. And we say that Tomei meis is not allowed to go into the second section. Already into the second section or the third section, the Ezros Noshim is the third section of the Harabais. Ezros Noshim was never in the Scottish Kedushas Hazara; it only had Kedushas Harabais. Because whatever has Rashi explains, Rashi reads the Gemara like that. Rashi interprets that this is what it says in the Gemara, because they wanted to give the women a break. If they would have been Mekadosh the Machna, the Ezros Noshim, they would all have to stand; they would never be able to stand. If the woman didn't go to mikvah, so she can't go to the Ezros Noshim either, because Ezros Noshim is harabayis, and a woman who's a nida or a zava is a tumah yotzah lemigufa, so they're not allowed to go to the harabayis. But if there would have been mikvah, so ben kavako, the women who didn't go to mikvah can't go into the harabayis. But they wanted to give the women who are tohar, they wanted to give them a break, they should be able to sit, because usually years ago the women are either mubaras amanikas or skenas. So it's uncomfortable to stand. The men are not pregnant, they're not nursing, so the men, let the men stand in the Azar. If it's too hot to stand, so don't go into the Azar. Because no one's allowed to sit in the Azar. Only the Melech is allowed. Melech and the Malchi Beis Dovid. But they wanted to make it easier for the women, so they were never Mekadesh, the Ezros Noshim. So the Ezros Noshim is the third section. In HaTorah, the whole Harabais is one. It's called Machna Leviyah. In Rabbanon, we divide it into three parts. So the Tmei Mesim are not allowed to enter into the third section. That's the Ezros Noshim and the Harabais. But in HaTorah, Tmei Mesim Muta Likonis to the whole Machna Leviyah. It's all the same. Not only Tmei Meis, V'loi Tmei Meis B'Levadam, V'Lafila Meis Atzmo. Even a dead body you're allowed to bring in Shenema. V'Ikach Moshe, Satzmas Yosef Imoi. When they left Mitzrayim, so the Medrash says everybody was busy taking Bizas Mitzrayim. Everyone knocked on the next door neighbor's doors and took Matanis, except to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is busy. Vayikach Moshe Atzmas Yosef Imo. What does it mean, Imo? The Gemara understands Imo Bimchitzosa, literally. He took the Atzmas Yosef with him. Moshe Rabbeinu was together with the Bnei Aharon in the Machna Leviyah. So you see that a Meis is Mutab Machna Leviyah. So that's the Gemara's Kasha on the Mishnah. They thought from the Mishnah, I don't understand why they thought like that. The simple reading of the Mishnah, Hotziwa, Shaloi Tetame Hu Azara. Take her out of the Azara. She's going to cause everybody to be Tame. I think the Taisus says here on the side, the Taylor look in Taisim Sochem. I think Taisus says that, Kash. The simple reading of the Mishnah is they take out the Saito. If she's going to die in the middle of Azara, she'll cause all the people, hundreds of people, to be Tame. And all the Kalim will be Tame. You'll paralyze the whole Beis HaMikdash for a whole week. Everybody's going to need Hazar, Shlishi, Shvi.
How can she make them all Tameh? There's no roof over it. There's no, unless they come in touch her, how are they going to become Tameh?
I mean, that part of the Hazar where there's no roof.
The Hazar, I don't think there's any part of the Hazar that had a roof.
That's a question. On top of them is Bech, this Yadali place for the smoke to go up. But other parts of the Hazar, I think the Rambam holds that most parts of the Hazar did have a roof. Yeah. Yeah. I think other Rishonim hold that most of the Azor did not have, but the Rambam holds that most of the Azor did have a roof.
All the depictions are not like the Rambam, apparently.
Yeah.
But
the Chevra Kaddish is going to come and they're going to have to take her out. So they're going to take her by helicopter. How are they going to take out the mace? They didn't have any helicopters. It's going to have to take her out horizontally. When they take her out, so they're going to have to take her under one of the roofs. There is no place to walk out without a roof. Even if the whole Azara had no roof, but on our way out, the Chevra Kaddish is going to be Metami, everybody and everything in the Azara. So the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah, Hotziyur, Shulet Tetami Hazar. Somehow the Gemara thought, Hotziyur, because she herself is a mace. The Gemara says, but a mace is Mutter and Machna Leviyah.
Maybe because the Gemara thought it was so obvious that it couldn't mean
that. Why is it so obvious that it can't mean that?
She's going to die. Unless you don't leave her in the
So that's what it says. Take her out. She's in the process of dying.
She will. She's not dead yet.
Right. So why does she learn Pashup Shad?
She's on her way to die, so we got to take her out. So the Gemara first thought, how can it be a mace is mutam machna levia? And for the Gemara, different reason. That's what we're afraid of. She may become a nida, and a nida is a tumah yotzal megufay. So tumah yotzal megufay is also in the whole machna levia. Reg the Gemara, why is she going to become a nida?
Why not?
So the Gemara says, lememer, you mean to say, the bia susa, when the woman is going to get scared and frightened, merafio, that's going to loosen the dam, that's going to cause a riaz dam. And for the Gemara, yes. And, echsib, that's when it says, v'tischalcha hamalka miyoid, Esther, when she heard what's happening, so she got petrified, yamarab, she pierced a nida, she became a nida at that time. So you see that if a woman becomes frightened, she may become a nida. So that's over here. The Saita is frightened. She drank the Maim HaMarim. She starts to... Her blood vessels are bulging. So at a pachat, she may become a nida. Freg Markasha. But we have a Mishnah that says, Faket v'anan tenan. There's a Mishnah that says, let's say a woman is married, so she has to calculate every month when is the Yom HaVeses, and she's not allowed to be with her husband and the Yom HaVeses. So what happens if the woman is in a concentration camp? The Nazis put her in a concentration camp. So when they interviewed all of the women, the doctors interviewed all the women after the war, so they discovered to their surprise, they never knew that the women in the concentration camps didn't have their period for 2-3 years. What the Mishnah says, so the world of science never knew it till after the Second World War. It's a pellet. So the Gemara says, there's a Mishnah that says, we have a Mishnah needed. It says, when the woman, let's say the whole city is under siege, or a woman is in a concentration camp, so there's an ongoing pachad, so she's not going to have a period. Even on the Yom HaVeses, it's mutter for the husband to be with his wife, because she's Musalekas Damim. How can you tell me over here that mi pachad misa, the woman may be merafia, she may have a rias nida? And for the Gemara, there are two different kinds of pachad. There's pachoda, and there's biasusa. Pchoda means she knows that there's going to be a long, drawn-out siege on the city, and she may be killed at any time. She may die from starvation. So pchoda, if there's a long, if you see that there's a long pachad that's going to be drawn out for a long time, tzomis. So that holds back all of the dam. That's why the women didn't have their period for 2-3 years in the concentration camps. But a sudden pachad that she wasn't prepared for, not they told her in advance is going to be a long drawn-out thing. A sudden pachad she wasn't prepared for, biasusa, that's merafia, that causes faket, that causes dam to come. The Gemara tells the story in the end of Nida, that there was a woman who used to suffer from an ein hara, that every time she came back from the mikveh, all the neighbors knew that she's so happily married with her husband, so whenever she would come back from the mikveh, she would have a riyas dam. So she didn't know what to do. So she came to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he decided to give her a sudden pachad, and he got someone to frighten her, to scare her suddenly, without her knowing in advance, and a whole chunk of dam came out from her body, and she was cured. That was the end. She never had any more problems. So the Gemara has this discussion there, that if it's a sudden pachad, it causes extra dam to come out. And if it's a long, drawn-out pachad, pchoda, that's tzomis that holds back all the dam. Then the Gemara comments on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if the woman has a schus, so sometimes the schus will be tailored 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. So the Gemara asked, whose opinion is this? Mani masnisen, loy abi yosef ben chana, loy ablez ben yitzchik ishkvadar, loy rabbi shmoel, the Tanya, there are three tanaim, each one has a different amount of time that the schus is tailored, but nobody says 3 years. The Tanya, the first opinion is she'll live another 3 months after going in the Beis HaMikdash with the Maim HaMarim. How did you get to 3 months? Because the pasuk says v'nikso v'nizra ozara. If she's innocent, then nothing will happen. If she didn't have any children before, she will become pregnant. So if a normal pregnancy takes 9 months, so hukarubra is usually after 3 months. That's how the Mishnahs have halachas. After 3 months, it's called hukarubra. So the first Tana says v'nikso v'nizra ozara means the simple pshat is if she's innocent and she didn't violate loisinov, so she will be blessed, she'll have a baby. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Even if she's guilty, She won't die on the spot. V'niksav and izvazar, she will survive another 3 months, the amount of time that it takes for a woman to become pregnant and to have hukah rubra, which is 3 months. Kedei hakora suver. Divra b'yosei b'chon. Next Tana disagrees and he says, no, tesha chadoshim, why she nehmar? 9 months. 9 months of pregnancy, she nehmar. V'niksav and izvazar, zara. And you see that Zara doesn't go on hukah rubra. Zara goes on a baby who was born already. How do you know? Lahalan Hoima, the Pasuk Tilim says, Zari Abdenu Yisuper. The Pasuk talks about children who are born are called Zera. Zera Haroi Lesaper, a baby who was born already, who will be able to speak. Zari Abdenu Yisuper. Yisuper means a baby will be able to speak. So the next Tana says, Nizra Zara means she'll survive 9 months after the ordeal in the Beis HaMikdash. The next Tana says, 1 year. So the biggest kula is 1 year. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Mishnei Masach Chodesh. The maximum zchus is a year. What's the mark of Afal Pishen Raya Ladov is Echadov? Ashtikol Raya. It's not 100% Raya that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that is going to be punished and is going to turn into a wild animal in the jungle. And he was petrified. So Daniel interpreted the dream to him. And then he gave him a recommendation. If you want to have a schus, that you should live a little longer, you shouldn't turn into a wild animal right away. Lahein malka malka yishpar alayich. If you listen to my recommendation, v'chatecha b'tzdoka proik. If you want to give tzdoka, you will be paid your chatoim, your sins, v'avayosach, and your sins b'mechan anyan, by being kind to the Jewish poor. Ahein te'evi yorchel d'shalbosach. If you do like that, if you give tzedakah to the poor, if you give charity, so then you'll have shalva for a little longer. Uchsiv, the pasuk says, Vayter in Daniel, Kula mota al Nebuchadnezzar Malka, the whole dream took place. He turned into a wild animal in the jungle. However, it was postponed for 12 months because he gave a lot of tzedakah. So the Gemara says that Daniel was punished. He shouldn't have given this eitzah. Nebuchadnezzar was a Russian, so what do you give him? You give eitzahs to a Yid. Ayid is a balaverd. Give him an eitzah. Do tshuva and give tzedakah. He shouldn't have given the eitzah to Nebuchadnezzar. But
Nebuchadnezzar.
He gave, yeah. He gave it to Aniya Yisrael. Yeah. He felt bad for Aniya Yisrael. After 12 months, then everything was fulfilled. Then he turned into a wild animal. So the Gemara asks, the only three opinions in the Tanoim, how long is the schus toilah? Is the toilah 3 months or 9 months? Or a year, the Mishnah says 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Where do you get up? Where do you get to the 2 years and the 3 years? Everything well, the Olam, the answer is the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel claims that it's a year. So where do you get to 3 years? V'ashkachro, the Oma v'toni. The Pasuk says you can repeat a second time and a third time. D'chsiv koyamar Hashem al shoshe pishe edom v'al abo alay ashivenu. What? If you do one avera, the Rabban Shalom may not punish you necessarily. Two averas, three averas. You're going to do a fourth avera, then he's going to punish you. So you see that, why doesn't he punish you after the first avera? Because the people have schusim. So you see that a schus can be toiler for a year, and the Pasuk says, Al shlosh pishe yadayim, I won't punish them. So if they have one schus, they'll be toiler 1 year. Two schusim, they'll be toiler 2 years. Three schusim, they'll be toiler 3 years. That's as far as it goes. More than 3 years, not. So the Mishnah is based on Rabbi Shmuel and multiplying by three, because the Novi and Amai says that sometimes the Rabban Shalom lets you get away with three strikes, and then the fourth strike, then you're out. Pereg di Gemara. Why did Rabbi Shmuel say the other Tanoim didn't say Afal Pishen Raya Dover Zecher Ladover? They said V'nixro Nizro Zora is either exclusive to the 3 months or 9 months. The only one who says Afal Pishen Raya Dover Zecher Ladover is Rabbi Shmuel. What's wrong? Why isn't it a good riot? You see that his punishment was postponed for a whole 12 months. So it's a good marker that his chus is toiler for 12 months. Freg de Gemara, my af mishmara dov zecher dov. Why is it only a zecher? Why isn't it a good riot? Zog de Gemara, dil mashani av de kechavim, de la mifkedina alayim. The Rabbanu Shel Olam maybe treats the Jews differently from the Goyim. The Mishnah is talking about a soita who's a Jewish woman. And the Pasuk is talking about a nochri, Nebuchadnezzar. So maybe by the Goyim, they give them a break, that they live another year. Maybe by the Yidin, the Rabban Shalom is medactic more on the Yidin, and he would punish them earlier. So it's not really a full riot that the Zchus should be toiled a year. Maybe by Jews, the Rabban Shalom is more makbid. The Gemara says in another place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medactic and tzaddik of Kuchut HaSaira. the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more Hashgacha Pratis there is. So there's more Hashgacha Pratis L'Toifa and L'Ro. More Hashgacha Pratis L'Toifa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but sometimes spare the Tzadikim when a Beinoni would not be spared, and sometimes Fakert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be medactic on a slight Aveira, will punish the Tzadikim more than other people. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished, he wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Rechaim HaChumash writes, we don't know Arayim HaZeh, what exactly was the Aveira of Moshe Rabbeinu? What did he do? So he quotes 10 different opinions from the Rishayim HaChumash, because he hit the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, he said, Shimon HaMoirim, what exactly was the Aveira, we're not sure. If we would have done it, it wouldn't be considered an Aveira. And the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu, that was considered such a serious Aveira, he was punished, he wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So that's based on the concept that the one is closer, Karav Hashem l'chol kairav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to those who are close to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik im tzadikav kechut asar. So that's what the Gemara says. Dil mashal yavti kechavim, dil amifkid dino alai. Maybe by nochrim, let him have a schus for a year. Maybe by yidin, the Rabban Shalom is more medaktik. So that's why it's not really a raila dover. It's only a zecha the dover.
What's your pshat? I thought that it's a zecha the dover because people had netzer messed up there. He himself caused it upon himself. He was haughty after the year. That's what Samash from the Pasuk. It's not that he just had a schus for 12 months. It's that he told him this schus, and then he was very makbid, and then he became haughty, and Hashem punished him right away.
I mean, the schus could have even worked longer than 12 months.
That's what it seems.
Uh-huh.
That's what I
mean. Okay. It's a good detail. I don't know. Then the Gemara goes into it. We'll start the discussion. The Gemara goes into a discussion. What schus does the woman have already? So the Gemara is written by rabbis. So the Gemara thinks the highest level of schus is liman ator. So that's the first schus. If the bar would be written by Chazanim, they would have thought davening for an omen. It's the highest schus. The Shulchan Aruch is written by rabbis. So it says that the keel only has so much money to pay for a chazan, to pay for a rabbi, so they should hire a rabbi. Maybe if the Shulchan Aruch wouldn't be written by Chazon, maybe they would have written you got to hire a Chazon instead of Rabbi. So the Gemara considers the highest level of schus must be Limud HaTorah. So the Gemara says, women don't learn Torah. What if the woman volunteered to learn Torah? So the Gemara says, we have a tradition, Gadol HaMetzuvah V'Yosef and Mishein HaMetzuvah V'Yosef. Men are mechuyev to learn Torah, women are not mechuyev. So the men, for a man, he'll get more reward than a woman. So what can the highest level of schus is liman ator? Women are not mechuyev. So what can it mean over there? So the Mishnah, the Gemara is schus demai on the top of chafav. Schus demai. What schus does she have? Elaim is schus de Torah. That's the first thing that comes to the Gemara. Schus of liman ator. That's the highest level of schus. For the Gemara, ain't a mitzvah v'yaisehi. So she doesn't get the same reward that a man will get. So how can it be? What's the schus going to be Torah for 3 years? Maybe for a man, but not for a woman. Elamuz mezagin schus de mitzvah. The schus, she did mitzvahs. She benched lecht. She observed taras hamashpacha. It's stuck a chesed. All the other thing. Frag the gemar. But the schus of a mitzvah is not the same level as schus of taras. Schus de mitzvah mi meganik uli high. Is that megan min ayisurim so much? I be hatanya, and they quote a whole brayse. The brayse comments on a pasuk in Mishle. The pasuk says kiner mitzvah v'toyra or ner is a candle and or is a torch. So the Pasuk in Mishle compares mitzvahs to a candle, and Torah is compared to a torch. A candle only lasts for a couple of hours. A torch lasts for much longer. And a candle only gives you a little illumination near the candle. The torch gives much more illumination. So the Pasuk compares mitzvah to a candle, and Limud HaTorah is compared to a torch. Tola kasuv es ha-mitzvah b'ner v'as-hatorah b'or. It's a mitzvah b'ner loy malach. Why is a mitzvah compared to a candle? Man ereina me'ira. That's how it says on the side. A candle is only me'ira. A little fisho. Candle lasts for a couple of hours temporarily. Af mitzvah ereina me'gina a fisho. The mitzvah will only protect you from yisurim temporarily. She did mitzvahs for the last couple of years. She's 20 years old, 30 years old, whatever. She did a lot of mitzvahs, but it's not going to be making her for 3 years from now. Only lefisho, but the Torah is compared ba'or to a torch. Lemalach ma'or meir la'olam. A torch lasts much longer; doesn't last forever and ever. Amen. Megin la'olam for a much longer period of time. Avtora megina la'olam. Liman haTorah will protect you from yisurim, from punishments, for many years after you stop learning already. And then the Gemara is going to continue. But Lineta will have to continue next week. There is another pasuk in Tehillim. Ne'ele ragli divarecha va'or l'nisivasi. So the Medrash asked the kasha here in this pasuk, it says Torah is compared to a torch. Only mitzvahs are compared to a candle. Kiner mitzvah, the Torah or. The other pasuk says, Ne'ele ragli divarecha. Dvar Hashem means liman Torah. So it compares liman Torah to a candle. Isn't that a contradiction? So the Medrash answers, the Yalkut Shemani Antilim answers, when a person starts learning Torah, all of a sudden, everything, he already knows the Jewish position on disarmament and on nuclear war. He knows Kala Tarkula and on birth control and on politics and what we should do with the Prime Minister of England and what we should do with the Prime Minister of Russia. He knows everything. So the Medrash says, when the person starts to learn, is nearly right. Liman HaTorah is also like a candle. But once he starts learning a little bit, then one thing will lead to another thing. Another thing will lead to another thing. Medrash says, "Acha kol asharim niftachim," till all the gates will open up. So then it'll be kineh leragli devarecha. When he starts learning Torah, it's only like a candle. Then it'll become va'or l'nisivas. It'll become like a torch. So when a person learns a lot, then it'll be Torah or. When he first starts to learn, so it's like any other mitzvah. That liman haTorah is only like a candle. When he learns a little bit, that leads to more. "Acha kol asharim niftachim." That's the expression that the Yalkut Shemani has. So that's how the Medrash answers the stira. Okay, this is a famous Agarata. Rab Chaim Alojana has, we must have mentioned it more than one occasion. Chaim Alojana quotes the Gemara Megillah that all religious articles are divided into two categories. You have Tashmishi Mitzvah and you have Tashmishi Kedushim. So what do you do with the Esrog after Sukkot is over? You throw it in the garbage. What do you do with the sukkah? What do you do with the shofar? You have an old shofar that's broken and you can't use it anymore. So you throw it in the garbage, nizrakim. But if you have an old pair of tefillin, an old mezuzah, an old sefer Torah, you have to put it in Shemus. So that's what the Gemara draws a contrast. Tashmishi kedusha on nignozim, you have to put it in Shemus. And tashmishi mitzvah on nizrakim, the old lulav and the old shofar, you can throw it in the garbage. So how did the Tanoim know which to classify as Tashmishi Mitzvah, which are Nizrokim, which are Tashmishi Kedusha that are Nignozim? So Abchai Malojan writes in Nefesh HaChayim that whatever has Divrei Torah written on it, that's called Tashmishi Kedusha. And to the extent that it has Divrei Torah written, that's how you determine how much Kedusha it has. That the Mezuzah only has Shema V'Hayoyim Shemaya written, so it only has the lowest level of Kedusha. Tefillin have four parshiyos Shema V'Hayoyim Shema Kadesh V'Yakev Yacha, has a higher level of Kedusha. Nishal Rosh has an additional shin over the Shalyad, has higher level of Kedusha than the Shalyad. The Sefer Torah has those four parshiyos plus much more, so the Sefer Torah has the highest level of Kedusha. So he says, why is it that the Tashmishi Kedusha, even after the Sefer Torah becomes puzzle, after the Tefillin has a puzzle, can't be fixed? It still retains the Kedusha and it's Nigdozim. You have to put it in Shemus. Why can't you throw it out? The Sukkah calls Man Mitzvahs Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah. It has temporary Kedusha. It's hooked to the Mitzvah has Kedusha. Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah is Man Mitzvahs. After this Man Mitzvah is up, it's no longer has the Kedusha. So he says that's based on this Gemara. That the Gemara says that Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah, or a Mitzvah is compared to a candle. That's only temporary, lefisho. And the Torah is compared to a torch that's meir loilam. It lasts for longer. So that's why the Kedusha that stems from the Divrei Torah being written will last on. The Kedusha of Tashmishi Kedusha, which have the Divrei Torah written, will last on even after the Tefillin and the Mezuzah becomes possible. Even after the Sefer Torah will become possible. Because the Torah has a power, has a lasting effect. It's megin even years after. Even 3 years later. If the person learned a lot before, it's going to be megan even 3 years later. Masheinike mitzvahs are only megan temporarily. So that's why the kedusha of the dvar mitzvah, the tashmisha mitzvah, kedusha is only of a temporary nature. Calls man, that's the sukkah is right, the mitzvah say. So they say, chal shemayim ala sukkah. If the sukkah is over, then no more chal shemayim. He said, it's based on this gemara. In this week's Sedra, Yaakov Avinu finds out that his son Yosef is still alive and he's in Mitzrayim, And there's a famine in Eretz Canaan. The famine was soon going to end. The whole famine. As soon as he came to Mitzrayim and he gave Paro a bracha, so the Medrash says that was the end of the whole famine. But he didn't know that that was going to happen. So that if he would have known, he would have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. What do you have to move to Chutz Lawrence for? So he didn't know. So he moved with the whole family. Everybody goes to Eretz Mitzrayim. So the pasuk says, "Ves Yehuda Shishi begins." Ves Yehuda Shal Chalfan of Al Yosef Al Horus Chalfan of Goshna. He sent Yehuda Lahoros. So the Medrash understands Lahoros Miloshim to Paskin Shailas. Yehuda established the Beis Hayro. He established a yeshiva that when the children, when the law come to Eretz Mitzrayim, they should have a cheder, they should have a Talmud Torah, that they'll be able to learn right away when they come. That's the first thing you have to do when you move to a new country. So apparently, yes, because everything is different. All the minhagim are different, you know, the whole situation is different. When the Jews move from Europe to America, everything is different. You move from America to Eretz Yisrael, everything is different. Ganz and different shilas, mitzvah satlis, baritz, everything is totally different. And you have to start learning everything all over again to see how the Dine HaTorah relate to the new circumstances. You can't just... They were ultra-Orthodox Jews who moved from Europe to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know the first thing about Afroshas, Trumas, and Maisa. They didn't know anything about it. They were ultra-Orthodox in Europe. Kashrus meant Shchita, Basa B'chalav. They had no Hasaga, Mitzvah, Atulis, Baritz. That there's a Din of Tevel on Afroshas, Trumas, and Maisa, and all the details. So the same over here. The Torah that they observed in Eretz Yisrael when they came to Mitzrayim is in Gansan a different Torah. The Torah doesn't change, but the circumstances are totally different. That's always important when you move to a new country and the whole surroundings are totally different. The Rabbanim have to reinvestigate all the shaylos to make sure that they're observing the mitzvahs properly. For many years, there are a lot of dinim that are not being observed properly here in America because the Rabbanim were sleeping a little bit, so they didn't realize everything is different here. So you have to be machmer on certain things, makel on other things. Everything is not. You can't just carry over the observance of mitzvahs the way it was in the Altaheim. It's not going to be exactly the same. You have to have a yeshiva and study everything all over again from the beginning. Thank you very much.
Do you know when you're going to Israel?
People are asking you.